I have a brand new podcast called Stop Being Perfect that is basically dedicated to life after HA. I wanted to make a separate show because you're probably like, why wouldn't I just talk about that on this show? I really want the HA podcast to be about, you know, women in recovery, getting through this phase. We'll touch on life after, but I think sometimes it can be confusing and challenging for women to be able to separate the now from the future. So I wanted to create a show that talks about all the types of things that are going on in your life and our life and my life after HA. It could be things from getting back into exercise and sport and athletic endeavors all the way through to parenting, because a bunch of you guys are doing this to get pregnant, right? Parenting, postpartum, co-parenting, all kinds of subjects, including business, entrepreneur, us, maybe me and Ashley talking about the HA society and how we got started and how we built that business. So many topics that just don't feel 100% right for this show, but feel 100% right for you guys at a certain stage of your recovery. So go check it out. It doesn't matter to me what stage you're in recovery if you check it out, but just know that they're separate for a reason. And I want to encourage you guys to keep going down this path of taking radical action for yourself and not focusing on being so perfect all the time. Because I promise you, you achieve more and better and bigger and greater things when you actually take your foot off the gas a little bit. So that's Stop Being Perfect with Danny Sheriff. I'll put a link for you guys in the notes of the most recent shows. And I cannot wait to see you guys over there. Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Danny Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. Today we are answering listener questions about from people who are new to period loss. I don't see myself on this camera right now. There we go. Okay. Jumping into the live stream on a Sunday. So I know people might be busy and they may not join me live inside the HA Society, but that is okay. We are doing a YouTube Q&A as well. So I have a couple listener questions today from people who are like, I think new to the world of period loss. So they've just given me some context about their life. And I'm going to try and answer it to the best of my ability. So the first question comes from Ella. And she says, hi, I recently found your podcast and have struggled with a period loss for about 2.5 years. I am 17 and I live a very active lifestyle. I recently ran my first marathon and I'm training multiple times a day to hopefully do another marathon or an Ironman. 70.3. I don't know what that means, but I'm scared to gain weight. Sorry, there's like a hair. There we go. I'm scared to gain weight, but know that the intensity of my exercise is playing a huge role in why my period is missing. I absolutely love to exercise and push my body to do amazing things, and I don't want to give it up. How much would you recommend I be eating, and is it possible to continue to train the way I do and get my period back? Thank you so much. I would also like to know the severity of what a lost period can do to my body, because I'm new to understanding HA and the effects that it can have. So it has a lot of really important long-term effects. Having your menstrual cycle throughout your reproductive years sets you up post-menopause, right? So a positive experience later in life is one of the reasons. Obviously, having a baby, one of the reasons. Osteopenia and osteoporosis, so severe bone loss,
Can be absolutely debilitating. You can basically be crippled. No estrogen, meaning your mental health, brain capacity, heart health, all those things are actually in jeopardy. No estrogen production can cause high cholesterol. So it's actually fascinating how the reproductive hormones, in particular estrogen, touches everyone and everything in the body, and that there's a knock-on effect, and it's just so important for so many reasons that you truly have to prioritize it. I think when you get to the end of your Ironman career, you may have regrets if you choose that over your health, and I'm not saying you can't have both, but you have to make smart decisions, and you have to back down and really give it a shot. So the answer of like, how much do I need to eat to be able to continue training without making any deductions to your training? My guess is you probably work out 5 to 6 days a week doing this kind of triathlon training, and you're going to need, probably knowing nothing about your height to weight, somewhere in the world of 6,000 calories plus. So I generally tell people it's easier to not train than it is to eat that much food. And you know, you say here, I'm scared to gain weight. So I have doubts that you will eat the food you need to eat in order to maintain the training, because there's weight control is a part of your bias. If you were just like, I 100% only care about my sport, you'll eat and do what it takes. But if you're actually afraid of weight gain, you may not. So you need to be really honest with yourself about that. Okay, next question comes from Shaylin, and she says, hey, I'm 18. Cool. And I got my first period when I was 13. I had several normal cycles, probably for like 4 to 6 months before my family moved states, and then I lost it. Shortly after that, I began running. I didn't have my period for months. Then I got it once in 2019, I believe. And then I felt overweight for having the said period. And I began running even more, and then I lost it, and I never had a normal cycle since then. For about 2 to 3 years, I had a serious ED and I was very underweight. I have so much fear that I've caused my ovaries to get premature ovarian insufficiency, and I will never have a normal period again. Do you think my ED ruined my chances? I'm 5'2 and 107 pounds, which is 30 pounds up from my lowest weight during my ED. I have been experiencing breast tenderness, discharge, and libido improvements, but I just want to know what your thoughts are. Have I ruined things for myself? I also work 2 jobs, recently stopped training, and I still weightlift once or twice a week. I walk a lot as well because I feel so much guilt being sedentary. Do you have any advice? Yeah, so I like this, Shaylin. She's kind of knows. She's already answered her own questions. She knows why she lost her period. She knows how she got it back. However, it's a huge jump to say you've caused premature ovarian insufficiency. POI is kind of uncommon. We do work with people who have POI, but it's like 5 people in our entire career over the 4 years of having the practice. Maybe it's only 4 people. And because you're saying, Shaylin, that you are experiencing breast tenderness, discharge, and increased libido after being 30 pounds up, it sounds more like your body is consistently trying to ovulate and do its job. It doesn't sound like it's your ovaries have shut down, right? Cervical mucus is being produced because there's an ovary that's a certain, sorry, an follicle on your ovary that is a certain size. So that's good news. Breast tenderness, good news. Libido, good news, right? So you probably haven't ruined anything for yourself. You're also only 18. You just need to go into recovery, and you just need to stop letting it, your issue is like, you'll do a certain amount of work to recover, then you'll get to a certain weight, you'll freak out, and you'll go in the other direction. And I like what you acknowledge here, which is like, once I had a period, I thought, I've gained too much weight. And that's really common. That's exactly what happens to maybe the majority of people, is like, okay, as soon as I'm seeing progress, I know that's good logically, but it means my body's changing and all the things that I'm afraid of are about to happen. So that's your ceiling. And if you can't get past that ceiling, that's going to ruin things for yourself. And that's how you know that while you may be clinically recovered from an ED, you still have it. It's just not controlling as much of your life, but it's still controlling a lot of it. So we have to keep our eyes out for that. Have another one here. We've got Zoe.
Y'all, we have been trying to record this for like 30 minutes. So here we go. Take 580. Hey, did you know that we support people with HA, low progesterone, anovulation, short luteal phases, and all of the types of challenges that come up with infertility?
Danny and I are practitioners that have helped hundreds of women beat HA, regain fertility, and get pregnant naturally.
Mm-hmm. We are here to break the status quo of spending tens of thousands of dollars on IVF treatments for women who have issues that can absolutely be solved naturally.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So we do this with our signature program that restores ovulation to regain healthy menstrual cycles. And if you're ready, get pregnant completely naturally.
Mm-hmm. On top of our one-on-one sessions, our fertility program even includes a styling session with Samantha Dawn, who is a body positive stylist. She's also our personal stylist.
Yes.
And an expert in helping you to dress your new and nourished body.
This is so important that we don't even need to convince you on how important this is. We want you to relearn how to nourish your body, claim your fertility, and feel confident in your clothes as your body changes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be painful.
No, yeah, exactly right. It doesn't have to be painful. With a little bit of guidance and support, you can absolutely do this. So if getting your cycle back and if feeling good about the process, if getting pregnant naturally is something you want to do, if you don't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars on medical treatment for something that you don't have to, we have just the place for you to go. So go to thehasociety.com/coaching to learn more about who we are, what we do, and apply today.
Yeah. We looked forward to supporting you.
That was good. Do you like that one?
Yeah, okay. I do like that one. That one's way more us.
Yeah. Boom. There you go.
Zoe says, hey, Danny, I've had HA for most of my life. First period at 14. They were regular and then disappeared with just a few over the last 15 years. I'm now 29. I had an ED in my early 20s, recovered to a stable weight, but still classed as underweight. And a few years later, I went all in 2020 to have my daughter with IVF. The IVF clinic required a BMI of 20. So I went all in and achieved that in 4 weeks and got a few bleeds, but they came every 18 days, which I know is really short. Not sure on the cause of such short cycles. How can you promote ovulation to happen? I presume these were anovulatory. During IVF, the treatment took over my cycle. After having my daughter 3 years later, I've had no period and have been diagnosed with osteopenia. I'm going all in again now for the future of my health. I accept the need to gain weight as my BMI is only 16 and I just want to heal now and get to the point where I can ovulate and my hormones are back. I'm eating every couple of hours without restriction, but I don't feel hungry and I feel rather sick or full. I'm making myself eat anyway for the calories. Is it normal to have no hunger? Is forcing myself to eat a lot anyway recommended? My latest bloods in April. My FSH was 8. My LH was 4. And my estrogen was 63. I've heard that it's usually under 50. If you have any time to spare and advise, I would appreciate it. Okay. Lovely email. She's bolded and highlighted the actual questions that she's asking. So she said, okay, not sure on the cause of such cycles. So it's really great that she, that the clinic required her to be a certain weight before they would do IVF. And it's interesting to watch how that happened, right? So if you got yourself to the minimum of 20, you may need to be 23, 24 to have cycles that are longer than 18 days, right? I think you're probably correct that they were anovulatory. If they weren't anovulatory, your luteal phase was probably 3 days, right? This is something that we see. Realistically, you just were in the healing phase. Like Zoe, you gotta, you know, we have people who will get nothing for like months and then they get a really great cycle, or nothing for months and then they get an anovulatory cycle or a really light bleed. And then we'll have people on the other side of the spectrum who recover with a pretty decent first period right away. So it's all common and normal, but what we do see most of the time is your first period, you're just getting one on the board. You're getting a bleed on the board. It in no way means the healing process is near complete, right? We want to see 3 cycles with pretty much optimal parameters before we consider ourselves out of HA. So this means that you are probably not high enough body weight, and probably not eating enough to get yourself there, even though you're eating frequently enough. Is it normal to have no hunger? Not really, right? So that it more, I'm not going to say too much on that one because context is necessary. I'd need to see your food log. You're saying you eat frequently, but I need to see what you're eating so frequently to understand. You could be eating a really high volume food, keeping you full when maybe you need to eat denser snacks. You could be eating crazy, crazy high fat snacks that are going to really affect your satiation. So it could be what you're eating, or you could just have been adapted and now you need to eat more before you actually start to get the appetite increases that you're looking for. Then you said, is forcing yourself to eat a lot recommended? If I, you know, without context, like, yes, you do need to continue eating if your BMI is still too low. You know, like, probably, but I can't answer that question without learning more about you. And then your blood labs. So they are indicative of HA. And you've said here, I've heard that HA is usually happening under 50. Yes, but you are actually looking at a different unit of measurement. So you're obviously not from the States. You're using PMOL/L instead of PG over NL. So in the US, that's what we use. So 50 is considered maybe normal by low normal by certain standards, and that's what we use. But anyone in an almost any other country uses the PMOL over L, and that one is like, how do I say this? I'm so bad at this. It'll read higher, but it is lower. So 63 is very low. I have a calculator here that I use, conversion table. So 63 is actually only 17, which is 17 PG over ML, which is very low, right? Significantly. So in your unit of measurement, 50 would be 183 for estrogen. So that's where that confusion is coming in. Your estrogen is super low. It's all very indicative of HA. And most likely you've said you've had HA your whole life. So you're going to have to eat and do a lot of things and feel a lot of things that are extraordinarily foreign to you. So yeah, you probably do need to eat more, even though you feel full. And you probably, if IVF worked for you at 20 with 18 day menstrual cycles, just look how robust the body is. And imagine what it can do with enough food. You may need someone to look at your food log and provide feedback from an outside perspective that's not your perspective, because reality is that your perspective is like skewed, right? That's so true for everyone. I mean, anyone here in the live stream, I think, like, could potentially agree. I'm curious if you guys, what you guys think, would agree that there's things and ways that you're eating or were eating that when you look back now, you thought that that was enough, or you didn't think that that was the problem. Right? Like, okay, so Veronica's so true. Someone else just needs to look at your food log. I needed that. When I look back, the first food log that I sent to the nutritionist that helped me had a salad on it for lunch, right? Because my thing was like, I wouldn't eat a lot of fat. I had a lot of high protein, pretty moderate carbs, and I did eat like no fat, totally afraid of fat. So my idea of recovery was bringing in a fatty salad, which is legit, right? But my idea of a fatty salad was pretty skewed. It wasn't that fatty. It was mostly lettuce, even though it has a creamy dressing. Like, can we all just acknowledge that, like, lettuce is not doing anything? And I had like some nuts and some seeds and like a meat in it. And I was like, look at me, I'm doing recovery. One of the first things I would do now is pull up someone on their daily salad and ask some questions about it, right? Because we think it's enough. Like, you wholeheartedly believe you're eating enough. And all it can take sometimes is someone to come and go, no, actually, like, your Quest bar is not a great snack for recovery. Right, or like, you're still eating rice cakes, and like, I'm loving that the peanut butter is on the rice cakes, but the rice cakes are still the rice cakes. So it can just really help to get someone else to look at it. If you need to, if money's a problem, right, and someone can't get a coach or whatever, ask your partner, like your boyfriend, your husband, whatever, is this enough food? And just see what they say. Because most guys eat kind of normal. And just like get a little bit of an outside perspective, or your best friend or your sister, as long as they're not disordered, you know, make a good choice about who you're asking. But that would be my recommendation. Cool. This was fun. This was fun. I'll see you guys next time. If you have questions, please submit them, either through the DMs, through Instagram, or through email. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are. And that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure, if you're trying to avoid pregnancy, that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping, for many reasons, is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the Temp Drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the Temp Drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake up times are all over the place, and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle's not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck. This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society. Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.